Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
What is good, everybody? Welcome, one and all, to TGI Football on the SB Nation NFL show presented by DraftKings Fantasy Sports. Check out what DraftKings has to offer this season with code SBNFL because life is more fun when you are in on the action. DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Age and eligibility restrictions apply. Void or prohibited. See DraftKings.com for details. It is Friday, January 19th, 2024, which means a couple of things. One, yesterday was January 18th. Two, tomorrow is January 20th. And three, it is the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, and we are here to preview every single game. I say we. My name is RJ Ochoa from Blogging the Boys. They, them, their names. Brandon Lee Gotten from Bleeding Green Nation. Steven Serta from Arrowhead Pride. Steven, what is the best thing you've had to eat since we last spoke?
I had egg rolls last night as part of my dinner. It was really good. I didn't make them. I just ordered them, but they were delicious.
Are you saying that because you said last night because we slacked on Thursday, and so you're being technical, like that was technically the last time we spoke? Because I was offering it as an option like this time last week. So you had a whole week's worth of food to choose from.
Oh, okay. Well, what did I make? I've been eating healthy during the week and then kind of eating bad like on Sundays ahead of football or whatever. So okay. I think last Sunday I made these really big like breakfast burritos with like a breakfast hash mixture that was delicious.
Okay, Brandon, same question.
I had a wonderful salmon that I made. It was fantastic. It was great.
Wasn't that on Thursday night?
It was on Wednesday night, actually.
Okay. I was going to say, that would have been really boring if you both were like, the thing I ate last night, that would have sucked. So I'm glad that we don't have to do that. Steven, how excited are you for divisional round football in the NFL?
I'm pretty pumped for it. I was talking to Pete Sweeney at Arrowhead Pride this morning. And it's a lot. We do this every year with the wild card round where we get really juiced up for the teams that like pull off upsets and the exciting young teams and forget about the teams that are on bye. Like those teams aren't the best teams in the playoff race because they earn the bye week. And so I'm really excited about some of the matchups, but I feel like a lot of people wind up in the divisional round sleeping on the Ravens and the 49ers because they've basically been off for a couple of weeks since neither one of those teams really played any of their starters in week 18.
BLG, it's often said that this is the best weekend of NFL action. Is that a take you agree with? Because I feel like the divisional round has kind of been a letdown the last couple of years.
No, I'm a big championship weekend guy. That's my favorite round each year. I think that has the most juice. I know it's fewer games, but I just think there's more bad blood between the teams, considering they're in the same conference and everything, whereas the Super Bowl sometimes can be a little bit, you know, of a weirder matchup. And also just the fact that there's so much buildup to it becomes a little bit maybe oversaturated. So I am looking forward to championship weekend, but here we are in the divisional round, which will certainly be fun setting the stage for that.
A way to just completely take away all the steam and juice ahead of the games that we're about to talk about. So everybody stay listening, please. Although you've already given us your download, so really, you know, we've already kind of won. We are going to preview and discuss all four games. We are going to go zapless this episode because it's only four games. If we zapped each other, this, you know, it could get really gross really fast. We are each going to offer a lock of the week. We'll, of course, get there in just a little bit. But before we do anything, Steven, we said no zaps. What are you doing? It was zapless.
Pick me!
One, two, three.
Pick one.
On three.
Pick three, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook.
Anyway.
We just zapped you.
It is time to do our pick three, which is brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code SBNFL for a special offer when you sign up. That is code SBNFL only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Brandon, last week we decided to parachute into the Rams game in Detroit. It did not go well for us. 0-3. TGI football went as far as the same game parlay. We are all below 500 on the season now. You are 9-10. I am 8-11. Steven is 7-12. When truth be told, I mean, that ain't too bad. I mean, you know, realistically speaking, although I'm spoken like someone who watched a lot of Jason Garrett led football teams. Anyway, this week we're going to go to Packers at 49ers. Brandon, what is your leg of the same game parlay and why?
I'm going to go with the under on Brock Purdy passing attempts that is set at 30.5. And only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of Brock Purdy's career games has he hit the over on 30.5 passing attempts. And two of those games were 31 and 32. So just barely over that. I am going to believe that the Packers are not going to be able to beat the 49ers. And therefore, the 49ers are going to roll a bit here and be able to run the football and not have to throw it a lot. And maybe even Brock Purdy comes out of the game early. So I like the under on his throwing attempts in this game.
Wow. No faith in the Green Bay Packers. You know, I don't know if you know, but my life was ruined by them last week. So we'll see. Anyway, Steven, I'm going to go with Brandon Ayuk as an anytime touchdown scorer. He only has one score in his last five games, which might lead you to suggest that this is not necessarily the most wise bet or wager to place, but he's kind of due. And this could be, this does kind of have the makings of like a 49ers party where like everybody gets theirs. And because it has been a moment since Brandon Ayuk has had a piece of the pie, I could totally see that happening, especially because how can you not pay all the attention in the world in a playoff game to the likes of Deebo Samuel and George Kittle? So that's where I'm at. My line is at +115, the longest of our three odds. But what is yours, Steven?
I am going with what I feel like is a safe option this week to try to get back in the W column here. But I chose Christian McCaffrey, 100 plus alt rushing yards, +105. Kind of agree with everything you guys have said. I know the Packers defense has been playing better lately, but if you look at their body of work over the whole season, they've given up a lot of rushing yards this year, and there's no better suited system than Kyle Shanahan and Christian McCaffrey to totally just burn that defense and exploit them and give them all kinds of problems. So I think the 49ers just offense in general is going to have a massive week.
BLG, the total line on our collective same game parlay is +445. Please tell us what that means through the lens of your beautiful mind.
If you bet $10, you would profit $44.50.
Steven, what would you buy with $44.50?
I would buy
Steven, what would you buy with those $44? A new hat? How expensive are hats for you?
I feel like depends. That's about what a hat costs if you get a nice hat.
We go on hat, or are you two weirdos that refer to caps as hats? That's always bothered me when people do that.
Like what
Brandon's wearing is a cap, not a hat.
It's a hat.
I just call it a hat. I don't think I've ever called a hat
absolutely a hat
in my life.
It's a cap. It's not a hat. It's a cap. If it has a curved bill, it's a cap.
What are you, from like the 1920s or something?
What?
That's not like an applicable reference. It seems like an antiquated reference. Like a baseball. Yeah. A young man wearing a baseball cap.
I actually think hat is more of an antiquated reference.
Thank you, Steven.
Both are horrible. But Steven, I asked you what you would buy with $44.50.
Probably a solid takeout meal. It's really cold in Kansas City, so some soup, some ramen, something with noodles and broth.
And a nice tip for whoever was delivering it to you, of course.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, well, if anybody wants to lay this up, we are definitely going to win, so you can buy a nice takeout meal or a nice cap.
Or you can legally say that.
Legally say what? that they can buy what they want?
It's not a definite that we're going to hit this.
If we win, you can buy whatever. Yes. If you place this wager and it hit, I feel like that was presumed. I mean, we offered all the terms and conditions at the beginning of the show. I mean,
boom.
You know, man, BLG puts one hat on and all of a sudden is afraid of the man. Jeez.
Oh, it's a hat now.
All right. Let's move on to the aforementioned divisional round. We have four games to discuss. We each are going in different directions with our locks of the week, which means there's only one game not being locked by anybody. BLG, you are 12-6-1 in lock standings this season, although you lost last week because you locked against me and I hit. I am 8-11. Steven, holy crap, dude, be bad at this. You are 15-4. It's like Steven can bank on ordering his takeout. Like, he knows what he's doing when it comes to stuff like this. You know what I mean?
So he better be actually betting on his locks.
He better be. Although he's actually the worst at the locks. Sorry, at the same game parlay stuff. Anyway, let's go in chronological order, which means, fellas, we are going to the Houston Texans visiting the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens are 9-point favorites at home. BLG, you are a notorious Lamar Jackson hater. How do you see this game going?
That's not true. What's true is that if Lamar Jackson loses this game, he will be have the lowest winning percentage of any quarterback who's won a game in the playoffs ever. So that's kind of what I'm getting at when I'm saying, okay, let's actually see it. Because if he's not able to do it, especially here when you have the bye week, you're the one seed, you're favored by 9 points. I know CJ Stroud's been playing awesome and this Texan team is fun and everything, but the expectation is here. You're 9-point favorites. You have to get this done, especially, you know, after you got the contract and everything. Like, it's here. This is the moment. You have to do it now. Like, everyone is watching you. And if you don't do it, there are huge questions if you can kind of ever do it at that point. So Lamar really has to win. There's a lot of pressure here. And I think because of the rest and everything, and because I know my thing about the playoff quarterbacks who are not experienced against experienced quarterbacks didn't really matter so much in the wild card round, but I do think that's going to catch up to these teams eventually at some point in this stage, especially again going up against a well-rested team. So I actually do like the Ravens to win this one and cover.
I do think the Lamar storyline is significant, Stephen. This bothers me to say this way because I can no longer refute it, but Lamar is kind of Dak Prescott in the playoffs, just without the criticism. I mean, I really, again, I hate to say that for obvious reasons because I obviously believe in Lamar. This is based off of ESPN's QBR rating, which is different than quarterback rating, but still, I mean, an interesting methodology to approach. Stephen, Lamar has the second worst total QBR in the playoffs since the metric was invented in 2006 among quarterbacks with at least 4 starts. Who do you think is first on that list?
I have no idea.
Brandon, do you have a guess?
When did this start, did you say?
2006. So Lamar, again, among quarterbacks with at least 4 playoff starts, Lamar has the second worst QBR. Who has the worst?
Who is the worst?
Yeah. Jared Goff.
No, but he is third. So Lamar barely beats him. That's a great, great comment.
I don't know.
It is Andy Dalton. That's the company that Lamar Jackson is in. Your thoughts, Steven?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with all of that. Like, obviously, Lamar's got to perform in the postseason. But I think I've got quite a bit of faith in the Ravens offense, even though it's been kind of up and down, but they're playing really well. And I think that we've seen their offense really show up in big matchups and in big games where they need to put a strong performance on tape. And I expect them to be able to do that because the Texans, for as well as they played last week, and D'Amico's incredible, CJ Stroud's incredible, Bobby Slowick is an amazing offensive play caller. Mm-hmm. I just think that it's kind of the Ravens' time. And I think the real matchup to watch in this is the Ravens' defense versus CJ Stroud. Like, because CJ Stroud, for as incredible as he's been, like, Bobby Slowick is also making things so easy for him and so easy for the players in that offense right now. But this Ravens defense, and I know Marlon Humphrey was ruled out in this game, but even without him, like, just at every level, they have playmakers. They're one of the deepest units in the NFL. They've been spectacular all season. And so I think that's the real matchup. Like, I'm not so worried about Lamar and the Ravens offense in this game. I'm more interested in how CJ Stroud performs against the Ravens defense, because I think that's the real deciding factor in this thing. So I still like the Ravens at the end of the day. I just think they're the more talented team. And, you know, I think it would be a legitimate shock if the Texans and CJ Stroud won this thing and advanced to an AFC championship game.
RJ, you're a big CJ Stroud guy.
Yeah, I think it's disrespectful that the line is so large here. I do wonder if we see a little bit of the way Baltimore bullied San Francisco. I don't think Houston's capable of bullying Baltimore, to be very clear. But I do think Houston is capable. I actually don't know off the top of my head how many one possession games have they been in this year. Like, I could totally see Houston just hanging on. And then, you know, at the beginning of the fourth quarter, they're up by 3 by some sort of, you know, way the game has played out. And CJ Stroud goes down and puts them up 10. And all of a sudden they're up 10 with like 8 minutes left. And it's just not enough, you know, time for Baltimore to ultimately kind of climb out of. That's how I think this game ultimately goes. Whether or not Houston wins, maybe Baltimore pulls off a heroic, like double touchdown sort of thing. But I definitely think the Texans are covering. I just think that's such a long line for a team that blew out one of the best defenses we've seen in a very long time last week in the Cleveland Browns. So I'm taking the Texans. I'm taking them to win outright. But, you know, as far as locks are concerned, all I have to do is have them cover 9 points. You guys are haters and losers.
The Wednesday show did a good job of pointing this out, but, you know, obviously the Texans and Ravens last played in week one, and that was 9-25 at the end of the day in Baltimore. So will be pretty interesting to see how much the Texans have come along since then.
Okay. So you're both taking the Ravens again, haters and losers. I'm taking the Texans. Good for me. Let's move on to Saturday.
Fun fact about the ice box.
Winter is coming.
Burr! I'm in the ice box. You know, pretty appropriate, considering I invented the ice box, that I would climb in here for my Texans, who I believed in to win the AFC South, and nobody did. By the way, I'm in the mood to just drag the Cowboys for a long time. I'll be in that place, this place. Do you know that since 2011, this is the fifth divisional round appearance for the Texans, whereas the Cowboys have only been to it four times? Is this the biggest game in Texans franchise history?
I guess. I don't know.
It has to be. I mean, the previous one was the meltdown in Kansas City.
Yeah,
so,
I was gonna say that divisional round matchup. They were up multiple scores.
24-0. And nobody ever remembers that they blew that. But, you know, hey, except for us, like what we just literally did. Okay. The Green Bay Packers are in San Francisco, Steven, to visit the 49ers. The Packers coming off of a fresh shellacking, an embarrassment, an indictment that they issued against the Dallas Cowboys. And in spite of that, they are 9.5-point underdogs. Are the Niners that good in your estimation?
I think they are that good. I already mentioned, like, I feel like we get so caught up in wild card weekend that we forget how good these teams are that are on bye. I do think the Packers wild card win was even more impressive than the Texans wild card win. I mean, it's not because of the Cowboys. It's not because of the opponent. I just think how dominant the Packers were. Like,
thanks,
Steven. We've seen them when they play up to their ceiling. Like, the Packers are a legitimate team, and Jordan Love's a legitimate quarterback, and Matt LaFleur looks like he's one of the best offensive minds in football when they're hitting on everything. And it was that kind of performance, but I still think that they're this season and like where they are at as a team, like all of the highs and lows of their year. It's a tremendous year for Matt LaFleur as a head coach and the Packers as an organization. But I think the 49ers are just kind of a different monster. And I already talked about it in pick three. Like, this Kyle Shanahan offense is specifically designed to dominate the kind of defense that the Packers generally want to play. And they're not a team that makes a lot of adjustments in their game plans and how they approach things on defense. So I think the 49ers are well rested. Christian McCaffrey is healthy. I think they're going to lean on that run game. I think we're going to see some dynamic plays to Kittle and Debo and Ayuk. Like, this just feels like a dominant 49ers win to me, even though the Packers are playing really well right now and they're a fun, exciting team. I just don't see a scenario where San Francisco doesn't win this thing by multiple scores.
Would we all agree that who is the better quarterback in this game?
I think you need to define how you want to like phrase that question. Like,
I think it's very simple.
What quarterback would you rather build around? Like, what quarterback would you rather have on your team?
That's no, I'm saying question. I'm saying at the end of this game, who do you think will have been the better quarterback in the game?
I mean, I think Jordan Love is the better quarterback. Yeah, but Brock Purdy could easily finish with the better stat line because his weapons are just so much more.
Yeah, Brock Purdy has the high ground. You know what I mean? Like, that's what this is about. Like, because of everything that we've discussed for what, a year and a half at this point. But again, in a vacuum, Jordan Love is the better quarterback.
So I do think that's an interesting, you know, lens to kind of view it through. But at the end of the day, I just feel like it's going to catch up to the Packers, not because they're frauds or anything, but just because they're ahead of schedule. Incredibly young team going up against an experienced, weathered team coming off extra rest. Packers having to have traveled down to Dallas, back to Green Bay, back to San Francisco, flying all around the country. I just think the Packers or the 49ers are in a much better spot. 49ers have been a, like, it's your year kind of team. Not saying they definitely win it all, but they're one of those teams that you just feel like things have been going their way by and large. They beat the Eagles. They beat the Cowboys. They've had an amazing year. It feels like, again, except for that little stretch there where they were banged up and they went in that little losing streak, they've just been incredibly dominant. And I think the Packers will make it cute early on, but at the end of the day, I think the 49ers are going to roll and get back to the NFC Championship game.
I know we're all big fans of DVOA in tracking, obviously, the season. And I recognize that I picked against Baltimore, but this year's Niners and Ravens aren't just the two best teams in the NFL in DVOA this year. They're like two of the like literal best teams ever by overall DVOA. So they just so happen to be playing in the same season. And and so I, for whatever reason, fear San Francisco more. Maybe it's because we have seen Baltimore slip up like in this, you know, kind of generation or era of Ravens football. Not that that is necessarily their, you know, destiny, but it's just so hard. I mean, you know, this is the kind of game, like I thought last week the Cowboys had been kind of waiting an entire year for that opportunity and they obviously blew it. The Niners have been waiting an entire year. And if they lose, I would be interested to see what the fallout would be. Brandon, I know you can certainly attest to this. They, I believe rightfully, were upset that they didn't get a chance to really compete, you know, under circumstances that they would have enjoyed and preferred in the NFC Championship game a year ago. But if you go out and you lose this game, then that rings hollow, right? Then it becomes like, oh, you losers, like you went and you lost your first playoff game since then. Like you have no right to talk about that. But if you come out and you just like, you know, crush the Packers, then it is like, okay, maybe you are just this like behemoth and this monster. And I think we all think that they are that. The Packers obviously dominated the Cowboys on the ground. And a big reason for that is that Dan Quinn just thinks that you can play linebacker in the NFL with like converted safety all the time. That's not who Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw are. This is a different thing. And I think that, you know, we all believe in lines and what the desert knows. And I'm willing to kind of trust Vegas here. I'm going to take San Francisco to win and to cover. Although, you know, valiant effort, valiant season from Green Bay. But historically, San Francisco has their number. I mean, we've seen that in different, you know, generations of Packers and Niners football. So that's Saturday. This is the only game, by the way, that none of us locked. What does that say about it? Are we kind of tentative? Like, we all just threw a lot of flowers at the Niners and none of us are willing to lock them up.
I didn't really think that much about it. I think
just don't have a strong feeling.
Okay. I mean, I thought that, you know, maybe we could have had an interesting discussion as a result of that, but, you know, obviously not.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's go to Sunday. Again, sticking in chronological order. Steven, an old NFC Central matchup in the divisional round. Look, the Lions story is fun, Steven, but the fact that we have a Bucks-Lions game in the division around is weird. Like, it's objectively weird, and it's okay to say it's weird. Like, you know, it's fine. But the Lions are 6.5-point favorites to get to the NFC Championship game.
And it's a Baker Mayfield-Jared Goff divisional round matchup is very strange. But this is my lock of the week. I really like the Lions here. Yeah, obviously the Bucs impressive over the Eagles, but I think at that stage of the season and the way the Eagles had been playing, we probably would have agreed that was like the best matchup they could have drawn in the wild card round. I just really like what the Lions are doing, and obviously on offense they're amazing. Ben Johnson's fantastic, and they have all the weapons to do a lot of damage against this Buccaneers defense that has had its moments, and Todd Bowles has been calling a lot of nice games. I just don't think at the end of the day they have the personnel to match up with what the Lions can do on offense. And the Lions offensive line is just so dominant right now. Like, I think Tampa Bay's run defense, which has been dominant over the last few years, isn't quite as dominant this season. I think the Lions are going to be able to find room on the ground to make plays in the rushing game. And I think Amon-Ra St. Brown and Sam Laporta and that cast are just going to be able to torch this Buccaneers secondary that has been beat deep down the field all season long against most opposing offenses. So I feel pretty safe about the Lions advancing to an NFC Championship game, which is absolutely insane. But I love the Lions and what they're doing right now.
Bielie, I would have locked this game up if Steven hadn't. I wanted to, you know, spread our kind of, you know, interest if we could. And the Lions are fun. I know I've kind of poo-pooed the party that everybody wanted to have, but like, how can you not, you know, enjoy what they're doing and what's going on? I do wonder, I haven't seen this out there anywhere, but if I think this will be all over our TV screens on Sunday, this has to be, there can't have been many divisional round or beyond playoff matchups between two quarterbacks playing for teams that took, that didn't take them number one overall, but that were both taken number one overall. Again, I can't even remotely think of another example like that off the top of my head. Obviously the playoff win last week for Detroit came down to the last second. I think this is a party. Like I think Detroit is like, we're getting crowd shots celebrating in the fourth quarter. Like we're going to the NFC championship game. Maybe even if Green Bay pulls off the upset, like we're going to host the NFC. Like the vibes will be incredible for Detroit in the 3-1-3 in this game. I think Tampa, I don't disagree with you, Steven, but I don't know that it was impressive that they beat Philly. Philly was just, you know, you beat a ghost. You know, that's really all that happened. And I think Detroit's going to be able to take advantage of that.
The one thing I do worry about in the Lions end is how much of last week's win was this, you know, was their Super Bowl, was their Minnesota miracle, was this such, you know, huge moment for that franchise that not because of how the team is coached that I think like they celebrated it irresponsibly or something or overweighed that performance, but just because of the natural human condition of how much of an emotional release that was to be part of that. And just wonder, like, do you have the same ability to turn it on again? Or just did you get swept up in that moment? That being said, we're all on the same page when it comes to, I don't think the Bucs are that good. They should have beaten the Eagles more comfortably. That game was more competitive than it should have been for a long time because the Bucs had something like six drops. Baker Mayfield was like ripping throws where like a guy'd be wide open and he's throwing an absolute bullet for like no reason. And he's still a little bit banged up too, so he's less than 100%. Yeah, I just don't really believe in this Bucs team. It would be pretty unfortunate if they won the game in some kind of like fluky way where then they go to the NFC Championship game probably just to get totally destroyed by the 49ers and have a joke of a championship game. Whereas I feel like we're due the 49ers-Lions game because the 49ers beat, again, they beat the Cowboys, they beat the Eagles, they beat the other top teams in the conference. Like the one team they haven't done it against this year is the other team there that's still here in the Lions that I would love to see that matchup. So I am certainly hoping, rooting for the Lions and thinking they will win. And yeah, I just don't have the confidence in the Bucs to think they're going to cover. Now, I'm going with all the favorites so far, which kind of makes me nervous, I guess, but I'm going to take the Lions to do it.
Wow, a Niners-Lions NFC Championship game as we are on the precipice of Jim Harbaugh returning to the NFL. The very famous handshake with Jim Schwartz at midfield.
That's right.
Wow. I mean, like, we agree, sorry, Steven, that the Lions at this point winning the Super Bowl would be the, like, coolest, like, content-creating result.
It would be awesome. I'd be fine with it because it would be, it would just be so much fun to talk about.
Yep.
Yeah. I also am a fan of this idea because I do think this would inspire Eminem to drop a new album. And you know, like, you know, we're all good with that. Okay, let's move on to the final game of the week. The Kansas City Chiefs visiting the Buffalo Bills, where I think the first game will be a blowout on Sunday. Like, I think we're seeing tweets in the fourth quarter that's like, okay, this game sucked, but now we get Chiefs Bills. Steven, we have wanted this game. I think as football fans, I think Bills fans have been like desperate for this game ever since 13 seconds. On and on and on and on. The Bills beat the Chiefs in the regular season. Cool. But then they would lose in the playoffs or not even get to them. Last year, they made all this hubbub about how they were better, blah, blah. They couldn't even get to see Kansas City in the AFC Championship game. The Bengals have kind of owned the Bills, but they're out of the picture. This is Buffalo's chance. It's in Orchard Park. They are favorites to win this game against the worst Patrick Mahomes-led offense we have seen in Kansas City Chiefs history. What are the vibes with Chiefs fans? Like, are they kind of surrendering a little bit? Because I kind of think that might be what's going on here. Or are they confident that they can go get Patrick Mahomes' first road playoff win in the most perfect setting and environment for it?
I think Chiefs fans are a lot more confident about this than I thought they would have been. Just based on the Chiefs season overall, like, you know, not unlike the Eagles, like, I mean, obviously the Chiefs didn't end it quite as bad as Philadelphia did. But it's been a very frustrating season for Chiefs fans. And it's been at times really hard to watch the Chiefs on offense. But it feels like they finally established the formula, and they did it in their regular season matchup against the Bengals. And I feel like that has carried over to the playoffs, which is just Isaiah Pacheco, Rashee Rice, and Travis Kelce. Those are the only guys you got on offense that you can rely upon to make plays and to actually contribute in meaningful, positive ways, because you got a bunch of other guys who do nothing but hurt you every time you look their way and every time they touch the football. So I think that's the formula, and this is a tough matchup, but Buffalo's got so many injuries, and you know, that's just a luck of the draw thing. And it's unfortunate for Buffalo, because I do think that that defense, when it's healthy, is a really, really good defense. It could give the Chiefs a lot of problems. But at the end of the day, I think the most underrated part of this game somehow, and it's because it's a matchup of these Titan quarterbacks in Mahomes and Josh Allen, is the Chiefs defense. Like, the Chiefs defense continues to be underrated nationally, probably just because they play on the same team as Patrick Mahomes. But the Chiefs defense has been elite all season. Like, it is a Super Bowl caliber defense if they can get enough offensively and not turn the football over and not make the big game-changing mistakes. The defense will give you opportunities to win all year long. They're the only defense in the NFL that didn't give up a 30-point game this season. And they're tremendous at every level. Like, I think the Chiefs defense is the real key to this one. And that's why I'm picking the Chiefs to win this game. Patrick Mahomes' first ever road playoff contest, because I didn't come out of that wild card matchup with the Bills and the Steelers saying, like, man, Buffalo, like, they're on such a heater. That's right fair. Now. They're dominant. They're totally just destroying all of these teams, which I feel like that's kind of been the narrative, but it's not really how they've been winning games. Like, they had a really close game against Easton Stick and the Chargers. They had a really good close game against the Patriots. Like, this Bills team is still prone to making mistakes. They still struggle at times. And I don't think the Steelers had any business being in that game late in the fourth quarter with the way that they started things. So I just think the Chiefs defense is going to give them so much more problems than the Steelers defense is. And I think the Chiefs defense is the deciding factor in this thing. So as long as the Chiefs don't turn the football over and make critical mistakes, which is what they did in their regular season matchup, I feel good about the Chiefs going into Buffalo and winning this game.
It's a really strong case that's making me reconsider my lock, but I'm going to stick with the Bills here, because I think that the Bills are another one of those teams where I think it finally just might actually be their year. I think the vibes are in that direction. I do worry about the last Chiefs-Bills matchup. As we covered at the time, Sean McDermott was just like some WTF decisions in that game. Like, what are you doing? So that makes me nervous. And I always say, what doesn't get talked enough about 13 seconds is that Sean McDermott absolutely should have gone for two in that spot at the end of the game, because it's just like, it's Mahomes. You need to do literally everything you possibly can. It's Michael Myers. Like, you need to make sure this person is dead. You can't just be like, oh, they're probably dead. No, you need to like finalize it. You need to do everything you possibly can within your power. And he didn't do that. So I worry about that. But at the end of the day, I just think Josh Allen is kind of the driving force that will override anything else. And even though that Chiefs defense has been amazing, and it worries me a little bit how, you know, Stephon Diggs is going to fare in this matchup and how that impacts Josh Allen. But I think even independent of that, you still have Josh Allen's ability to just kind of take off running like he did against the Steelers and create a huge play. So I'm going to bank on that.
So first of all, Kyle Barber has chimed in from Baltimore Beatdown. I don't know if either of you saw this, and said, oh, hey, I see you're talking about the divisional round. Why then are BLG and RJ talking then? So, you know, Kyle, I picked the Texans and feel pretty proud of it right now. So
because we have extra time.
That's a great answer. So I think this game has the most chaotic potential one way or the other in terms of fallout and legacy impact, whatever. If the Chiefs lose, I think, Steven, nobody's like going to seriously question the Chiefs. But if they're flat offensively, I do think that maybe the conversation just becomes annoying. Not quite about Mahomes, but about Kelce. I think people will really come for him after this season. Might come for Andy Reid a little bit. And it could be a more annoying offseason than you've been used to.
Chiefs fans have already been doing that all year.
Well, so you've lived among the privileged for the last few years. So nobody will care or feel bad for you. However, if the Chiefs show up, and particularly if Mahomes were to like go off and out-duel Allen or whatever the case may be, then Chiefs fans are back to being super duper annoying. You know, Honey Badger was right. They're super entitled and whatever. And if the Bills lose this game and if Josh Allen is flat, I think that they have a reckoning somewhat like Cowboys fans are going through, like, okay, if it can't happen now, like if we, you know, when we get them at home, you know, their offense is all flat. Like what, when will this ever happen for us? And I think that Sean McDermott has done an impressive job ever since all the WTF stuff, to your point, Brandon, and his comments that everybody saw have kind of just been conveniently forgotten about. But they're like one loss away from everybody remembering all of those things. And similarly, Josh Allen, if he were to lose this game with a million turnovers, given that it's going to have a massive audience, I think that, you know, stigma around him becomes even louder. And on the opposite end of the spectrum, if Josh Allen goes off, Josh Allen is already hyped up a lot, and properly so in some respects. But if they beat the Chiefs, if they slay the Dragon at home, like it takes off to a different level. I think that happens. I think they do just enough. And I think that the Chiefs are just in a weird place right now, Steve. And I think it's probably not going to be as quality of a win over the Chiefs as Bills fans like have dreamt about in their minds. But at the end of the day, it's going to be a win over the Chiefs to send them to the AFC Championship game. So I'm taking the Bills, which means, Steven, get a jacket.
Fun fact about the icebox.
Winter is coming.
Burr! I'm in the icebox.
At the risk of this burning me badly, because I'm doubting Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid at some level, I just feel like the Chiefs have not been like a, it's your team, speaking to the frustration that Steven has been referencing. It just doesn't feel like that's the year that you win again.
I do want to say too, like offensively, the Bills have been doing it, I think, longer than the Chiefs have. It feels like the Chiefs have only made that turn like in the last month or so. But they both kind of had to have like a mid-season moment where they were like, yeah, we got to just be a conservative offense a little bit and take the points where we can get them. And because if we just go out there and try to air it out and sling it, we turn the ball over. And they both have kind of done that more recently, where Patrick Mahomes has been a little bit more conservative. I think he had, against the Dolphins, he had like 7 throwaways, which was the most throwaways Patrick Mahomes has ever had in a game in his career, which is crazy. So I kind of agree with that. And I think the Bills have been safer. And in their regular season matchup, the most frustrating part about it was they were getting pressure on Josh Allen, but Josh Allen's just such a freak and a monster. He just kept running away from it and creating these huge chunk gains on the ground. And that's the biggest issue with him, is when Josh Allen is just feeling it, and he can go out there and light it up with the best quarterbacks in the NFL. So it does scare me, but I still feel good about the Chiefs defense.
That's a great point on the pressure thing. I mean, that's when you see like how quarterback or sacks can be like a quarterback stat, because Josh Allen absolutely should have been sacked way more this year. But like his ability to just avoid those is incredible.
Kyle Barber called me a loser for picking the Texans. You may feel that way, Kyle, but I'll be the winner on Saturday afternoon. So we'll see about that. Brandon, you took all favorites. You didn't go into the icebox one time. Some people are calling you a coward.
Who's calling me that? I did terrible last week. I went 0-6 against the spread. So maybe take the opposite of all my picks for whatever that's worth. I went 3-3 straight up.
So 500 at best.
Not great.
Okay. As we close, because we've already picked the games, there was a tweet that came out a moment ago from The Athletic's Diana Russini, saying that the Falcons have Bill Belichick as their top candidate, and they are flying him in on one of Arthur Blank's private planes, or they did that on Thursday night. By the way, like very subtle flex, one of Arthur Blank's private planes. They had dinner on Thursday night and have more meetings to come. So let's go around one time. Prediction for something that happens across the NFL between now and when we record next Friday ahead of conference championship weekend. So it can be Team X fires Coach Y. It can be Team A fires Coach B. It can be Team, you know, R hires whatever, anything J. I ran out of options. So, Brandon, you can go first, please.
Jim Harbaugh is hired by the Chargers. Boom.
That was going to be mine, so I'll just pick, Belichick to the Falcons, because I think that seems like it's a done deal.
I thought Brandon was going to offer something about Nick Sirianni. I'm going to offer that Nick Sirianni is announced as being retained by the Eagles.
Yeah, probably, unfortunately.
I envisioned that that would be have been a longer conversation, like what we just went through in like the span of 35 seconds.
Ben Johnson to the Commanders.
No, how can that happen? We all have the Lions winning.
Okay, I guess so.
Okay, actually, this is the last question. Who has the like the most like you better not drop this energy this game this week? Because like, you know, you could argue it's the I meant as a team as a whole. Like, because to Lamar's Lamar point, I mean, like, you know, if he loses this game, it's going to have been his two MVP seasons, and they were both they were bounced, you know, immediately in the playoffs by not Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen, but by the Titans and no offense to my team, but the Texans. I mean, like, and that would not be a good look for Lamar.
Road teams. You were at home.
Right. That's a great point.
But is it Sean McDermott, like, as a head coach? Like, if they just get totally dominated by the Chiefs and they come up short again?
I was going to offer that it's Lions fans because, like, if you lose this, you know, to the Bucks, it's a you know, people think like, oh, I want a taste of playoff success. You only want it if you get it all, because, you know, if you just get a little taste and then it's all taken away, it is the most heartbreaking thing in the world.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
So, okay. Sean McDermott, Lamar, and Lions fans. All right. That was cool. All right. Let's, you guys want to just chunk deuces and get out of here?
TGIF.
Okay. As we do. Steven, can you offer one piece of life advice to people?
Always shovel the snow when it first falls.